You know how there were no good pitchers last night? That's because they're all on the schedule tonight, Tuesday, on the Daily Fantasy Live Show. I'm Chris Towers here with Mike McClure and Heath Cummings. And, yeah, I went first. I went first with you, Mike.
Are you okay with that? I am A-okay with that.
All right. We've got 14 games on the main slate tonight. Is there a doubleheader today?
No.
No, the Red Sox...
It's a Cleveland Indians game. They do this thing where they play at 6:10, and it's really annoying.
The Royals do it, too. It just doesn't matter because they're in the Central time zone.
Right.
Cleveland's on Central time?
No. We've had this talk before.
Are you sure?
Cleveland's...
I'm positive they're not in the Central
time
zone.
Cleveland's, like, almost directly above Georgia.
No.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Yeah, you should pull up a map.
I'm not going to do that.
yeah, because you see the East Coast in the North is much farther east than the East Coast in the South.
It cuts in. I don't think the math works out on that.
That's a fact.
Nope.
And there's only like two states between Cleveland and the ocean. Pennsylvania and New Jersey.
Right. Yeah, but Pennsylvania's a long state.
Well, so I spent a little time living in Indiana.
Okay.
Indiana is in the Eastern time zone.
No.
And Indiana is west of Ohio.
That's not true.
It is 100% true.
This is all very strange to my Florida mind.
Well, I mean, in fairness, you think that the Midwest is about the same size as Florida.
No, the Midwest is massive. The Midwest is basically everything west of Pittsburgh. And even Pittsburgh might be the Midwest.
Wow.
This is going to be such a great show.
I mean,
it already is, really. I mean, look how far we've come.
You guys want to talk about some baseball? We got all kinds of choices tonight. And what we're going to do, we've got 7 elite pitchers on the slate. Yeah, I said it. 7 elite pitchers on the slate. Everyone from Clayton Kershaw at 13,000 all the way down to Chris Archer at 9,700.
Oh, Chris Archer's still elite?
In terms of price, he is, yes.
Okay.
So I want you guys to give me your 3 favorite from that group. 3 of the top 7 pitchers. Heath, go.
Well, I think number 1 for me with a bullet is Madison Bumgarner.
Okay.
And then number 2 would be Clayton Kershaw. And then I probably won't play any of the rest of them. But if I had to rank my 3rd favorite play, it would probably be Cole Hamels.
Cole Hamels going against Oakland at 10,400. The ones that you left off, and we'll see if Mike gets to them. But Noah Syndergaard at 10,700, Max Scherzer at 10,500, Zach Greinke at 9,800, and Chris Archer, obviously, at 9,700. Mike, how does your top 3 look?
Clayton Kershaw, number 1, okay. Madison Bumgarner, number 2, and Noah Syndergaard, number 3.
Okay, make your case. We'll talk about Noah next, but make your case first for Clayton Kershaw over Madison Bumgarner.
Clayton Kershaw is the best pitcher in baseball.
Okay.
They're obviously both pitching in pretty good pitcher sparks tonight.
And both have pretty good matchups.
Yeah, they both have pretty good matchups. The thing here
they
is...
don't.
No?
Nope.
Why not?
He doesn't think the Angels strike out enough.
Against left-handed pitchers this year, the Angels have struck out 13% of the time.
Okay.
The Padres against left-handed pitchers have struck out 25% of the time.
Those sound true. I believe that you are telling the
truth. Clayton Kershaw has only had 2 games this year against a team that ranks in the bottom 5 in strikeout rate.
Okay. Actually seems pretty high.
Yeah, okay. So he's already had 2 games this year. And in 15 innings in those 2 games, he struck out 11 batters.
Okay. Do you have a similar stat for Madison Bumgarner?
Like when he's faced teams that strike out the most in baseball? I will shortly. Mike can counterpoint.
Yeah, so the reason I like Kershaw is I feel like he still has the highest probability to pitch deeper into the game, even over Bumgarner against the Padres. And I think the win probability is still higher. I mean, I know the implied win probability is higher based on the Vegas line, but I really do believe the win probability is significantly higher for Kershaw than Bumgarner tonight.
The win probability is higher. This is where I get into a bit of a question, though, because you don't get more points for winning by more runs.
Yeah.
And Madison Bumgarner's win probability is sufficiently high for me to feel like he's going to win.
Okay.
And so I don't know what extra bonus I'm getting from Kershaw being 100 points bigger. Like, he's minus 260 and Bumgarner is minus 180. I don't know. That's not exactly what it is. I made those numbers up.
Sure.
It's close to that.
Okay.
I don't know what the average bonus or value of those 80 points are.
What I would say is you are dramatically lowering the odds of some kind of weird situation where the bullpen blows a lead or the offense struggles, something like that.
A lucky situation.
Yes.
Which is kind of what you're eliminating with a team that strikes out 26% of the time, because balls that get put in play are subject to batted ball luck.
Sure.
I would anticipate the Angels putting a lot more balls into play against Kershaw than the Padres. And that sounds stupid to say, because Kershaw's the best strikeout pitcher in all of baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. But I do wonder how much that actually does matter. And it, like you said, against the, in the two starts that he's had, it does seem to matter. But it's hard for – I guess the $900 is kind of what clinches it for me.
Bumgarner has had two starts against teams that strike out as much against lefties as the Padres. One of those was the Padres.
Okay.
The other one was the Mets, who actually, I think, strike out the most in baseball against lefties. Yes.
Sounds right.
In those two starts, he had 16 strikeouts in 12 and two-thirds innings.
It's pretty good. Okay. I think that makes sense.
But I do agree with Mike that Kershaw is more likely to pitch more innings.
Okay.
Yeah, so what I think here is...
He's averaging 7 3/4 per innings.
Baumgartner might go... I honestly think it's basically a coin flip. Like, I like both guys. Right. I have them 1 and 2. I'm going to take Kershaw just for the extra win probability, because that $900 doesn't really affect my hitters that much tonight.
Okay.
There is a lot of value out there depending on how teams construct their lineups tonight. So I think Kershaw, like I said, even if he's not getting those strikeouts, he's going to get 6 strikeouts. I think that's really the floor for him, is 6. If he only has 6 strikeouts and doesn't get hit, he's probably pitching the entire game.
Yeah.
Right. His odds, I feel like his odds of giving up 3 runs are higher than Bumgarner's tonight, just because of dumb luck and the fact that there is a Mike Trout.
There is a Mike Trout in the lineup.
And Mike Trout matters.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said Mike Trout matters.
He matters.
It's important.
It sounded kind of like...
He matters.
Okay.
Mike, you have Noah third, Noah Syndergaard. The thing is... He's going against Max Scherzer. They kind of cancel each other out there, right?
Definitely.
They do. Will you be playing either of them?
Probably not.
And Heath, I assume you wouldn't either.
No, I said earlier that I wouldn't.
All right, do you guys want to move on to the rest of the pitchers?
The rest of the pitchers, yes. It's like Paul Harvey. You don't know who Paul Harvey is, do you?
No.
Man, you've missed out on so much being in this corner of the world.
I don't know what that. I just don't even know.
You should listen to Paul Harvey sometime.
I don't think I want to. Radio?
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm definitely not going to do that.
And now you know the rest of the story.
I'm definitely not going to listen to talk radio.
He's not like a political pundit or anything.
No, I'm not. It's not. Sports talk radio is just as bad.
No, he doesn't. There's no excitement. He just tells stories. He's a storyteller.
Huh.
You'd enjoy it.
That's weird.
He's a national treasure.
What other pitchers do you like?
I think really there are 2 that are almost identically priced. It's kind of, again, like the Scherzer-Kershaw discussion.
Okay.
Except at a much lower price with worse pitchers.
Assuming I know who you're talking about, one of them has much higher ceiling.
Well, he has illustrated that he can score 80 fantasy points in a game.
That is Vince Velasquez going against the Marlins.
But I don't believe that we should take a look at the game logs of all the pitchers this year.
No, yeah.
And say the most points they've scored is their ceiling and the fewest they've scored is their floor.
I agree.
Nicasio,
80 points isn't a realistic ceiling for any pitcher.
No. And Nicasio, I think, has 50 plus potential.
Yes.
Especially against a Braves offense that's awful. Now, maybe the Braves will be inspired by the firing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got a question. I'm going off track.
That's fine.
Okay. Mike brought this camera in to yeah. record the podcast today.
Yeah, a GoPro.
This is not a GoPro that moves or pivots or anything.
Nope. It's just staring at you.
It's just solely staring at me.
It's a fisheye lens, so it might have me a little bit. Oh, I'm way will. Distorted in the outside.
You're not distorted at all. You're in
like,
the
am I getting my own talk show and they just haven't told me yet?
I think that's what's going on.
And they're just getting ready to see what it'll look like.
Mistakes were made.
Okay, he has taken the camera off of me now. Yes, Juan Nicasio and Vince Velasquez. Yep. Much better matchup for Nicasio, who has been a lot better at home this year than he's been on the road. I bring that up because I'm a little bit worried about Velasquez, and his two best starts have been at home, but I am a little bit worried about Velasquez in that park as a fly ball pitcher.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of power in this Marlins lineup.
I mean, you've got – last night was a perfect example. Justin Bour got a chest-high fastball from Jared Eichhoff that he drove 420 feet to right center – left center. The big thing for me with the Marlins right now, though,
mm-hmm.
Giancarlo Stanton is lost. He is in one of those ruts where he just looks really bad. And Vince Velasquez is a pitcher – Jared Eichhoff made him look really bad, and I think Vince Velasquez is a better version of Jared Eichhoff.
Yeah, he's better for sure.
But like similar type of pitcher, relies heavily on the fastball and the curveball, not so much on a third pitch that's an off-speed pitch. And Stanton's just not seeing breaking ball as well right now. And so that kind of brings it to a point where the Marlins really – they have three guys that you're worried about for Vince Velasquez. If he can get through Dietrich, Justin Bour, and Christian Yelich.
I'm still worried about Stanton.
I think they're always worried about Stanton.
Yeah. Like, because, again, I don't – we've talked about it enough with the Blue Jays for sure. I don't necessarily believe slumps are predictive. Okay. Giancarlo Stanton is going to hit a ton of bombs this year.
Yes.
He will break out of this slump, I would assume, in the next week.
Definitely.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think it's any more likely to happen on Sunday than it is today.
I agree. It's mostly Velasquez. Okay. I think Velasquez is specifically a pitcher who
– he's not a slump buster.
I just think it's – specifically a matchup that Giancarlo Stanton could struggle against. That's it.
Okay.
But I think Velasquez is a very good pick, but I think Nicasio is a little better.
You like Velasquez better than Nicasio, right?
I actually don't.
Okay.
I thought I did initially, but I do like Nicasio's win probability a lot more.
Right.
And so. the strikeout potential, because Nicasio doesn't typically go deep into games, he's only averaging 5 1/3 innings per start, basically. Strikeout per inning. So, I mean, here you're looking at like a best-case scenario of 7 innings, probably. Like, he just converted reliever. He doesn't work deep into games. He doesn't rack up big pitch counts. I don't know if he's thrown 100 pitches in a game yet, maybe once or twice.
The Marlins are 27th in K rate against right-handed pitching.
Yeah, that sounds surprising.
I don't know. I think it kind of is. Like they're better against lefties than they are against righties, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
27th, I mean, they strike out the fourth fewest times.
Oh, no, that's very surprising, yeah.
Their K rate is 18.2%.
That's quite surprising, yeah.
Wow.
Huh. I did not expect that. Maybe tilts it even more in Juan Nicasio's favor. Or maybe Vince Velasquez gets some team-wide regression going all at once here.
In fairness, the Braves are only 17th. They don't strike out near as much against righties.
They don't strike out that much in general.
But they've still got a 275 wOBA against them. They're bad.
Oh, when you look at the Braves, if you sort on their baseball reference page by plate appearances,
mm-hmm.
it's Nick Markakis is okay. Freddie Freeman's been awesome after a slow start. Nobody else has an OPS above 660. It's insane how bad they are.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think Nicasio is the best among the sub-stud pitchers. Wei-Yin Chen might be a good play on the other side of that Marlins game. We talked about the Phillies being pretty bad against lefties yesterday. And, I think that could work out. He is a fly ball pitcher in a home run park. So that's the one problem. But it could work out for him.
Yeah.
What other cheaper pitchers do you guys like?
There's another guy in that range also that I think deserves a look, and that's Kyle Hendricks.
Okay.
He will be on the road
against
Milwaukee in a pretty poor park shift for him. But, again, the Cubs win probability is relatively high.
He's another guy that just isn't going to go into deep into games, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he might get six innings, six Ks, two, three runs, and a win. I don't know. I think he's got potential to be a decent play tonight.
Okay. Anybody else?
I don't dislike Jaime Garcia against the Rockies on the road.
Yeah.
I'm confused what to do with Marcus Stroman.
Yeah.
Because the Rays are bad against righties.
He is one of three pitchers in baseball right now averaging more than seven innings per start.
Whose struggles are we more afraid of? The offense of the Jays or Chris Archer? Like, who's more likely to bounce out of it tonight?
The Jays offense. It's a very tough place to pitch for Archer on the road.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I'm probably just letting the high-profile failures of the Jays cloud my judgment too much.
You know what I really hope happens? We get the suspension announcement today, and Jimmy Paredes is in the lineup.
Okay.
I want minimum price Jimmy Paredes.
All right.
No, he's probably not even in
the system. You can have him.
He won't be in the system for
another
week.
He definitely won't be in the system yet.
What do you think of Marcus Stroman, though?
I don't understand how he is expected to ever be an elite pitcher without striking anybody out.
Okay.
And
well, 65% ground ball rate is one part of it.
Right. So if you can have a 65% ground ball rate and maintain a low BABIP, then you can be a good pitcher.
I mean, there was a there's actually a really good piece on Fangraphs today about him where he actually has the second most vertical drop on his sinker.
Which is weird since he's throwing from so low.
I don't know. I really don't.
That is a little odd, yeah.
It seems weird to me.
Charlie Morton has the most vertical drop on his sinker.
So it's a sign, a really good sign.
Well, his sinker is also 6 miles an hour slower. Marcus Stroman throws a 96 mile an hour sinker with a ton of drop.
That's big difference.
That's why he gets 65% ground balls.
But I mean he's now thrown 213 innings in the bigs, and he's got a mid-threes ERA, 3.37. And if he doesn't ever start striking people out, I don't expect his ERA will be much better than that.
No, but he could be like. There's no shame in being a healthy Jaime Garcia.
Right, but that's not what he's been hyped as.
That's a really good pitcher. Like, if Jaime Garcia threw 210 innings every year, he'd be a $180 million pitcher.
Okay.
Just one man's opinion.
Yeah, it is.
but I do think against the Tampa Bay Rays, last time he faced them, he had 9 strikeouts. So, you know, that kind of gives you an idea.
He's not a bad play.
He's gone 8 innings in each of his 2 starts against the Rays this season. Is there any interest in a Dallas Keuchel bounce back at 8,100? That is so cheap for Dallas Keuchel. Is it too expensive for Dallas Keuchel?
Yes.
I think it is.
So we are buying that Dallas Keuchel is broken.
I'm at a disadvantage because until about halfway through last year, I didn't totally buy that Dallas Keuchel was as good as he was.
Yeah.
So it's easy.
So now... The 7 starts are total confirmation bias.
It's easy for me to slide right back into, he had a good run.
Just had a good run.
I mean, it's...
He was 4th in baseball in WAR in 2014.
The Astros
won the American Cy Young in 2015. It was just a nice run.
It was a good run. He was awful in 13.
That seems fair.
Lucky in 14.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Good in 15. Great in 15.
What about some other pitchers? Anybody else on this slate that you're even considering pitching? What about someone like Jesse Hahn against the Rangers?
No.
No chance.
There's way too, you can't tell me about all these good pitchers and then interest me in a Jesse Hahn.
Okay. I think Jesse Hahn might be pretty good. The thing with him is coming through the minors, it's never been a question of whether he was talented enough to pitch in the majors. The question was always whether he could stay healthy. He is currently healthy. So I think
that was a strong argument for him being good. He is currently healthy.
He's currently healthy.
He's not hurt yet. All right. So, we didn't mention pretty much anyone under about $8,300 really.
Okay.
So, there's gotta be a lot of good stacks out there tonight, right?
Oh, one of the things I wrote
calm down. No, she got excited.
Wow. One of the things I wrote about in the article today was that what was going to make this slate fun was the bad pitchers.
Okay.
Because we have a collection of some of the worst pitchers in the game.
We're on that 5-1 turn.
Right now, yes. Yep. Mike Pelfrey, otherwise known as Big Pelf.
Okay. Don't slander Mike Pelfrey.
Would have the third lowest K percentage in all of baseball if he had the innings to qualify. But he can't. Jared Weaver does have the sixth lowest, as well as the sixth worst FIP. Now, there's one pitcher with a FIP worse, and that's Yordano Ventura. I don't know how I feel about that.
That's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. And the Red Sox have been on fire, so I'm sure some people will stack them. That won't be one of my stacks.
No.
Seems like a good strategy.
Just not stack the Red Sox?
You're not going to have any Red Sox.
I'm not saying I'm not going to have any Red Sox. I'm going to stack them.
Okay.
I will not have any Red Sox.
Wow. That is a strategy one could take.
Also, Chase Anderson is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to get crushed by the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
He's already allowed like some crazy number of home runs, like 11 or something. Something ridiculous.
He's given up a 456 wOBA to right-handed batters.
That's pretty bad.
And then Phil Hughes, who may be the better pitcher in that matchup, but is not good.
Yeah, the Minnesota-Detroit game, Phil Hughes versus Mike Pelfrey, there could be like five dongs in that game.
Yes.
Conservatively speaking. So what's your favorite stack?
I'm going to have to go with the Cubs for my favorite stack.
Okay.
It's difficult. It's going to depend a lot, and Mike and I were talking about this before the show, on who is in their lineup.
Yeah.
If they go with their expensive lineup, it's going to be very difficult to stack them.
Mm-hmm.
But Jorge Soler is only $2,100. Tommy La Stella is only $2,600. Javier Baez, I think, is $2,200. I'll have some Jason Hayward at $3,400.
Miguel Montero is $2,300.
Miguel Montero is $2,300. I mean, there's a lot of cheap Cubs. We're going to need to see the order before we see who we're playing. They could totally screw things up and not be the top stack if they've got a bunch of $4,000 hitters in their lineup, because you can't afford them with Bumgarner or Kershaw.
Mike, what's your favorite stack?
It was definitely the Cubs, but after that I'm going to go with the Pirates. Pirates lefties.
Going against Braves righty Aaron Blair.
Mm-hmm.
One of the few ground ball pitchers on that staff, and they have arguably the worst defensive infield in baseball.
It's a good combination.
Yeah.
So which Pirates lefty specifically?
Polanco is definitely my favorite. John Jaso, $2,800, makes a lot of sense to use him at first base if you're trying to pay up for Kershaw. Matt Joyce, don't love him. He'll probably be in the lineup again with Starling Marte out.
Yeah.
McCutchen was awful last night. He's not a lefty, but I do like McCutchen. And that's pretty much it there.
Okay. Pittsburgh was also one of mine. I like both sides of Detroit, Minnesota. Like
yep.
I said, anybody really who can put the ball in the air against Phil Hughes has a chance to catch a dong. He tends to let them fly when they do. And I think the Dodgers against Jared Weaver, the Dodgers offense, I think it's fair to say they haven't been as good as we expected them to be. A lot of guys are cold right now, especially Yasmani Grandal and Yasiel Puig. They both look kind of lost. Yasiel Puig is $2,500.
Yes, I'm hoping the day off last night really, really helped him.
Yeah.
I'm expecting him and Justin Turner to both be back in the lineup tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he's hitting .232. He's been bad, 7.8 fantasy points per game. He's got 10 extra base hits in 38 games. He has not been...
He's been bad.
This has not been a good... I was really vocally calling for the Yasiel Puig bounce back season, and... Not so much so far. I'm not giving up hope. I'll never stop believing in Yasiel Puig, but right now it's not looking great. Any other stacks that you guys are considering?
That's pretty much it. I think we pretty well covered it.
Yeah. Diamondbacks versus Michael Pineda also.
Could be. I'm still worried Pineda is going to have a really good game one of these days.
Oh, he definitely will.
Yeah.
But he'll also have some bad ones. That's kind of the Michael Pineda thing. Heath. Do you have a BVP lineup?
Of course I do.
Well,
of course I do. At catcher, it's not a great BVP lineup.
Do we have a pitcher?
To be honest. Not a BVP pitcher, no.
Okay.
In fact, I had to put Yordano Ventura in there.
Awesome.
You can use whatever pitcher you want under 7,500.
Preferably not Yordano Ventura.
He's upside for days, Chris. Derek Norris.
It's gonna be 2017. No, 2000.
You said 2019 closer.
2023. Yordan Ventura is 29 years old, and we're still gonna be like, this is it. This is the breakout year. I know he's got a career 5.2 ERA.
It's nowhere close to that. His career ERA is under four.
Can I interrupt you? I want to talk about Yordano for a second.
Okay.
So
his Dono?
Yeah. My parents have been in town for the last few days. I just dropped him off at the airport. My dad and I were talking about Yordano.
Yes.
After watching Batista and Odor's deal.
Okay.
And we talked about how both of those guys are pretty fiery players. Mm-hmm. And I think some of the struggles that Yordano is experiencing might be because they've calmed him down a little too much.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Taking the emotion out of the game.
I think that they've done that a little too much with Yordano.
I think they were also, yeah. Yeah.
And they did that like as soon as he got to the majors.
No, definitely not. He was very good for a few starts in there.
No, he had one good year.
Yeah.
He had a 320 ERA.
They've calmed him down a little too much this year, in my opinion. I wanted to hear if anybody else agreed with that or thinks that's crazy.
I think it's possible, but the alternative was not acceptable. But he couldn't stay the way he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
At catcher, Derek Norris.
Okay.
Has a 346 average and a 909 OPS in 27 appearances against Madison Bumgarner.
That, cool. Good. That's fine.
So
I will not be playing anyone against Madison Bumgarner today.
Well, that's because you don't believe in BVP.
That's exactly it.
You kind of questioned BVP yesterday with Jeff Francoeur, and look what he did.
I did not.
Went to Dongtown.
I questioned it.
I'm pretty sure I endorsed Jeff Francoeur.
First base, there are so many options. You can play any first baseman you want. Miguel Cabrera against Phil Hughes has a 439 average, 6 dongs, and a 1465 OPS in 42 plate appearances.
I definitely believe that.
Hosmer against Porcello, we talked about that one yesterday. Pujols has a 1038 OPS against Kershaw. Teixeira against Greinke. Freddie Freeman is 6-for-12 with 4 dongs against Juan Nicasio.
Wow. Yeah, I'm more interested in that one than the ones against Kershaw and Greinke.
Huh? To each their own, Chris. That's what I say. I try not to judge others. Robinson Cano at second base against Ubaldo, 6-for-11 with 2 dongs and 1856 OPS. At third base, Evan Longoria has had some success against Marcus Stroman. I think he may be one of the only Jays, but Longoria is 6-for-12 with two dongs, a 1622 OPS. At shortstop, this is kind of breaking news as well. Manny Machado.
Yeah, he is a
playing shortstop
now.
Has seen Wade Miley 8 times. He's got a 429 average, a dong, and a 1357 OPS.
Yeah.
In the outfield, Carlos Gonzalez with a little lefty on lefty BVP. He's only 3,300 cargo. Wow. 3,300 against Jaime Garcia. And he has had some success against Jaime. 6-for-12 with a dong, a 1417 OPS. Austin Jackson, if he's in the lineup against Dallas Keuchel, everybody hits Dallas Keuchel, so obviously, actually, the entire starting outfield for the White Sox are BVP All-Stars, but Jackson has a 364 average and a 916 OPS against Keuchel, and then Curtis Granderson going up against Max Scherzer. Granderson has a 304 average and a 994 OPS in 28 plate appearances.
Yeah, this is... We didn't talk about it earlier, but this is a start that could go sideways for Max Scherzer. We saw it a couple starts ago. Obviously, we saw what he did in the most recent start, but a couple starts ago, people were kind of worried about him giving up a lot of home runs. That's kind of an issue for Max Scherzer at times. Now, obviously, he's at worst, what, the fourth best pitcher in baseball? So it's not that big of a concern, but the Mets have...
I hope
Thor could take.
We're going to find out if Thor listens to the podcast.
The rankings are going to change after tonight's game. Because
you just definitely said that Scherzer's better than Thor.
No.
You said he's at worst the fourth best.
No, it could be fourth, third.
No, he can't.
He could be.
Clayton Kershaw, Jake Arrieta, and Madison Bumgarner are still living and pitching.
Or Chris Sale.
Chris Sale's
those
also
guys,
near the
there's,
top.
There's a clear top two, I will say.
Who's number two?
Jake Arrieta.
Okay, thanks.
So, but when after you say he's that, at worst fourth, that means that any of those other guys could be ahead of him, but yes, only one of those other guys.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Any of them, but only
he
one.
Could be third.
Okay.
Scherzer could be third.
Okay.
You guys got lineups?
Yeah, are we not doing Dong Chasers anymore?
Oh, we got to do Dong Chasers, yeah.
I thought maybe you broke the scoring system.
The scoring system is alive and well.
Okay. What is the current... I'm in first for the week, right?
I don't care about the week. Give me the
overall.
I mean,
technically,
standings.
We all have zero for the week.
I mean, overall, Mike's still winning. That's
okay.
It. We don't need to go over the score every time.
Okay, great. I will take Yasiel Puig.
All right. Yasiel Puig, $2,500. You really... are sticking with the cheap
jerk
options.
What is that? That is one thing you could tell me.
What?
Our season long cost averages coming into today.
You are the only one under 3,600. You are down to 3,598. Mike is at 3,609, and I'm at 3,723. Money well spent for a last place finish.
So you're spending the most, but getting the least.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. So it's my turn?
Yes. He's flustered.
I'm going to go with JD Martinez. He is not donging much right now, but...
He donged yesterday.
There you go.
It's a hashtag dong from last night.
Yep.
Mike?
What's his price? $3,600 JD Martinez. You're not even getting a bargain on him.
You're not getting a bargain.
I'm in Mike's head right now.
It's been well established.
You are
I'm,
definitely in my head. This is a very long dongless streak, and it's starting to affect me.
Is mentally. He approaching the record?
It's up to 7 games. I believe he's 4 days away from the record.
Okay.
So Friday, if he doesn't get a dong by then.
Well, if I don't catch a dong
it's
before
really,
Friday.
It's going to really put some pressure on your weekend dong chasing.
Yes. Give me... I can't say that because then you'll accuse me of believing in BVP. So
I'm so far into his head.
So far into my head.
Oh. He's going to pick Ben Revere.
No, there's no chance I pick Ben Revere. Manny Machado, 3,900.
All right.
I believe in BVP.
All right. Let's hear some lineups. I'll go first.
Okay.
I'm the only one that's not paying up for pitcher.
Okay.
I've got Juan Nicasio. I think he's a high variance play tonight, and it allows me to really stack my lineup with good hitters. I'm going with Miguel Montero at catcher, Paul Goldschmidt at first base. He's only 3,800 still. Michael Pineda is extremely homer prone. Derek Dietrich at second, Kyle Seager at third, Manny Machado at short, and then my outfield is JD Martinez, Miguel Sano, and Yasiel Puig.
That is a really good lineup, Chris.
There's no stacking. That's the one thing that I'm concerned with is I've got
sometimes that's okay.
I've got a lot of good hitters with good matchups.
Right.
But sometimes that doesn't work out.
I'll give my DraftKings and then Mike can give a FanDuel and then I'll give a FanDuel.
Okay.
I've got Bumgarner and Nicasio.
Okay.
At pitcher. Yasmani Grandal at catcher. Miggy at first. This is kind of a lineup full of guys that I don't always give the respect they deserve, but Dietrich at second.
Okay.
Jake Lamb at third. Eduardo Nunez, one of my favorite shortstop plays of the day on both sides. Jorge Soler, Miguel Sano, and Gregory Polanco.
Yeah, Miguel Sano, worth pointing out, 3 home runs in his last 5 games. He seems to be figuring it out.
That's pretty good.
Mike?
I'm going to give a Clayton Kershaw lineup. We've got Kershaw, Miguel Montero, John Jaso, Tommy La Stella, Justin Turner, Javier Baez, Yasiel Puig, Jason Hayward, and Gregory Polanco.
All right.
Worth noting, some of those Cubs may or may not be in the
lineup.
Yeah,
there's a lot of dudes in that lineup that may not be out there. You're going to have to definitely keep a close eye on the lineup blocks.
Yep.
I've got Mad Bum.
Okay.
Grandal as well. Maurer at first.
I had Maurer.
Chase Utley.
In my Kershaw lineup.
Justin Turner, Nunez, Jason Hayward, Jorge Soler, and Miguel Sano.
Okay. Let's win some money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who do you think's got the best lineup?
Well, I didn't listen to Mike's. So so it's really between your lineup, my FanDuel lineup, and my DraftKings lineup. And of those, I think I like my DraftKings lineup the best.
Okay. So play Heath's DraftKings lineup if you... don't like Mike's, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the BVP lineup was pretty good.
Sure. Well, yeah, Yordano's going to have a great game.
Yeah.
Famous last words.